We've had some great conversations this morning, starting off really focusing on what's been going on in the Middle East and, of course, the U.S. involvement in flying over that mission that we saw them complete on the weekend. What was it, 37-hour round trip, fighter pilots dropping these bunker buster bombs on the three nuclear sites in Iran, and then heading back to the United States. We open up the phone lines for a great discussion. People continuing to weigh in on that on the text line, which is great. This next conversation that we're about to have is another one that I know a lot of people have thoughts on, maybe have more, I would say, more concerns over, and that's the protection of our personal information from a security, from a cyber security standpoint. Through the last year and a half or so, we've had many times that we've talked about the importance of keeping your information safe, the importance of not clicking on a link that you get that could be suspicious, could come in through a text message, through an email. In fact, we've had that discussion on the Roundtable of Justice on this program before. But privacy today, I think, just looks so much different than it did years ago because of the number of companies that you will work with, some of them actual physical stores that you walk into, but then ask for information that could be personal information, everything from phone numbers to emails, contact information. Sometimes they'll collect much more personal data than that, but certainly online sites. If you have any sort of an online presence, whether it be through Facebook, Instagram, you had to set that account up. And in doing so, you put in information and credentials and emails and contact information and a whole bunch of things that are really personal to you. So what happens when those companies that keep your precious information get breached? Like 23andMe. That was a big story recently, not protecting information. Social media, I just talked about login credentials, major platforms being part of a major data breach that we just learned about this month. How do we keep our personal information safe? Is this just the consequence that we have to have? We have to accept living in a digital world. My next guest lives this every day, and I'm always excited when I find a guest and I think, oh my gosh, this guy is the guy. Could we get him on the show? And we do. And that's what happened here, because I saw some great videos online that Scott Schober was doing. Scott Schober is a cybersecurity wireless technology expert. He's an author. He's a sought-after international speaker and trainer on cybersecurity. And today, he's a guest on our show. Scott, thanks so much for taking our call.
Hey, great to be here with you.
You've been doing this work for quite a while. Maybe just give us your background, how you got into this work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, actually, we're a privately held company. It was founded by my father 53 years ago, and we've always done unique niche designs for other companies, and many of them have to do with wireless and security, cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. And we provide lots of different tools that help people find the bad guys, let's say, and protect our data and find skimmers, you name it. So I'm immersed in this day in, day out, especially the last 15 years. It's all I do, cybersecurity and breaches and problems.
So on that note then, Scott, let's look at the last, let's say 15 years. Are we seeing every year an increase? Is this one of those problems that's never going to become less of a problem when we think about cyber breaches, cybersecurity?
Yeah, that's actually a great point. You would think, despite all my efforts and all the other cybersecurity experts out there educating everyone, what we're learning is the problem has not gotten better. It has gotten worse. And in part, it's not just about knowledge. Part of it, it's a people problem. People are complacent. They just don't get cyber savvy. They just kind of get deaf to the headlines after a while. And we've all heard it. Hey, change your passwords, use multi-factor authentication, encrypt your data, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of people are not doing it, and that's the fundamental part. The cyber criminals are still going after those easy targets, those that are too complacent to protect their data.
You know, it's not surprising that businesses, again, whether they're physical businesses that you walk into or some sort of an online business or platform, are wanting more information because it helps them analyze who their customers are, how they can reach them. Are we becoming complacent with that too, in giving willingly giving our information to companies that need it or are saying they need it for our profile?
Absolutely. And that's a brilliant point you bring up, because all of us are guilty of this. We provide too much information. Short story, I went to the doctor's office, had some sinus problems, and the first thing when I'm filling out the paperwork is they said, we need your Social Security number. And I questioned it. I said, no, I'm not going to give you my Social Security number. Why would you do that? And they said, well, we can't see you unless you provide that. And I walked back up and said, I need to speak to the supervisor. I said, the law does not require you to give my Social Security number, and I'm not going to give it to you. And you can't deny me to be seen because I have a medical condition here. And then they came back and said, well, you're right, sir. Legally, we're not allowed to force you to do that. And then I asked, by the way, why do you want that? And I did a little research. Why do they want people's Social Security number? So if you are default and don't pay your bill, if you have someone's Social Security number, you're going to get guaranteed collection on them. So if you follow the money, that often tells you why they're collecting so much personal information about all of us.
There's a variety of reasons, and sometimes it's obviously not as serious as a Social Security number. It could be an email or a phone number. But, you know, I think part of the problem is, even if we ask the question, what are you doing to protect the information I'm about to give you? I'm not sure many of us are equipped with the skills to analyze whether they're able to protect it adequately or not.
True. And for the most of the time, they're not. And I did ask them, I probed a little further, what do you do if I did provide you my Social Security number? They said, well, we take this document, if it gets in your folder, we make a photocopy of it. A girl takes it home and she enters it into the database. I said, wait a minute. Now you've got two physical copies and an electronic copy with my Social Security number. Right. That just increases the chance that it gets compromised. No way I'm giving it to you.
Mm-hmm. Scott Schober is my guest, the cybersecurity expert, wireless technology expert. And really, we wanted to have you on, Scott, because we've seen this happens almost on a monthly basis. We hear of another big company. Sometimes they're local, sometimes they're national, sometimes they're international. So this 23andMe situation, as an example, I'm hearing 7 million people affected worldwide. In Canada, about 320,000 roughly. So what does it mean when there's a security breach and your information could have been compromised? What's the practical reality of what does that mean for us as individuals?
Well, with the typical breaches, for the average person listening, there's not a whole lot you can do. However, I think the 23andMe breach takes it to another level. And why do I say that? Because now the layer of genetic data is involved. Personal information that's tied to you. So I would encourage anybody, if they have used 23andMe and their personal data is there, I would make sure it's deleted, number one. Get that proven that it's deleted and out of there. Of course, if you log on to the site or who's acquiring them, change your passwords, two-factor authentication, all the basic things. But remember, personal data, you can't really protect that. If somebody gets that, something unique about you, your DNA, that could be used in future breaches, and that to me is extremely concerning. A password we can change. You can't change your DNA, and that's tied exclusively to you. So very important to really take the steps and make sure your data is deleted if it's part of that 7 million plus data breach.
There's so many, I think, tentacles that can come from just that 23andMe breach. Scott Schober is my guest, cybersecurity expert. So something like the Google, the Facebook breach, those are numbers in the billions. We're hearing the number of users who could be compromised. I mean, how do you know if you're going to be one? Is this just taking swift action and knowing if you've got a Facebook account and knowing that user information has been compromised, changing your password, all of that, those types of steps, Scott?
Yeah, in part it is. And to be 100% honest, if you've got 16 billion people that have had credentials compromised, some of those are duplicates, but for the most part, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of accounts, and most people have multiple accounts. But keep in mind, if you're using Gmail, Yahoo Mail, Hotmail, those have been repeatedly compromised, the credentials, again and again and again. So in other words, if you're using email programs that are free, you can almost be sure your information has already been compromised. that the content in your email has already been compromised. So I encourage people, don't use free email. That's step one, because you're going to be kind of the customer in a sense when it's compromised. They're selling your personal data. You have to be willing to trade that. And that's a concern, because what happens when they get your data? There's credential stuffing attacks that go on where they're taking your username and passwords. They actually will go on through automated software and try all the websites, especially going to banks and email providers, e-commerce platforms. Where will those credentials give them access? Then they'll take over the account. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the next step. And then we're all familiar with the social engineering and the phishing schemes that we get through everyday emails. Very annoying, but they use that information to target people. But I think even worse is where they sell our credentials on the dark web. I can go on the dark web right now and buy stolen credentials for the highest bidder, and I could use that to then target individuals to get into their bank account, into their company, into whatever it is that you're trying to hack. And that's where things kind of amp up, because then cyber criminals will perform ransomware attacks and extortion and blackmail, identity theft, fraud, you know, the list goes on and on. And I could say a lot of this not because just I deal with it every day, but I've been a victim of this. I've had my company targeted and hacked, my Twitter account, my credit card, my debit card. I had my identity stolen, somebody posing as me trying to hack into the bank account. I had $65,000 stolen from our checking account. So I've lived all these horrors, wrote several books on it because I'm educating people day in, day out. And it comes down to the basics always. If people would just start with the basics, long and strong passwords, 12-plus characters, numbers, this and that, they're really hard to hack. Two-factor authentication across the board. Use it everywhere. Never reuse the same password. Just those three basic things would make people 100 times stronger. If people still don't do it, more than half the people reuse the same password on multiple logins. Mm-hmm. Big problem.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that I think you said it right off the start, Scott, about people becoming complacent. And you get comfortable. You think this website is not something that's harmful. The reality is that any website that contains personal information could be. Are there red flags that you think people should watch for when they're logging into a website? Like someone I noticed asked the question as you and I were talking about the use of cookies, how websites use cookies for information. Are there red flags that you would caution people to watch for?
There's a couple basic ones. And again, I use common sense because that's usually where people fail, unfortunately. As humans, we're weak. We look at things, if the price is too good to be true, it's a sale, it's this or that, it's probably too good to be true. Make sure HTTPS for secure, or there's a lock symbol when you're typing something into your browser. That's a given. Most people realize that now. And don't buy things from sites you're not familiar with. Everybody's heard of Amazon or Walmart, and you're pretty comfortable there, and you'll have success there. If you come up with a third party you've never heard of, use caution. Do your research before you're quick to put your credit card into, you know, an e-commerce site. And I get a dedicated card. I use a dedicated credit card only for e-commerce online shopping. And that way, if there is a problem, you can immediately report it, and it doesn't affect the rest of your personal life and your finances. So having those layers protects you, and I think that's really important.
That's a good point. I've never heard that one before, but I like it, Scott. Before I let you go, what about on a broader sense? I'm thinking about the businesses that will ask us for our email, for our phone number, for contact information, sometimes even things like birth date, because they want to send out a special sale when your birthday rolls around every year. Do you have thoughts or cautions for people in those situations?
Sure. Personally, I don't give my actual birth date. Every time I go onto a site and they require my birth date, I give a different birth date. And why? Because if somebody performs identity theft and they try now to compromise your identity, try to take over your credit or take a loan out, and then you report the wrong birthday name because they compromised it, conversation over. And that's really important. People should also consider freezing their credit. I did that. The three major credit bureaus, so you're protected even further. So there's a lot of practical basic steps you can do. And note all these things that I mentioned, they're all free. It just takes time. It takes your time and effort to secure yourself and build a strong cyber posture.
This has been a great chat, Scott. I've appreciated you joining us today. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, anytime. Stay safe, everyone.
Scott Schober, his website, by the way, scottschober.com, is a great place to go to get all kinds of great information, links to books that he's written. He does training. He's a sought after speaker when it comes to cybersecurity and wireless technology. Great guest there. It's one of those things. It's becoming harder to find people that haven't had some sort of a problem with identity theft. Their bank card compromised, the Visa card compromised, information. If you're a Facebook user, potentially, you have been affected because we know billions of usernames have been taken. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're opening up phone lines because I want to hear your stories, and that includes how it was rectified. 1-877-332-8255. We'll be right back here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.